Our text is found in the first verse of chapter 11. Isaiah 11. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim, but they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dry shod. And there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord. Call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. That far we read in God's holy, inspired word. May God bless that word to our hearts. The text that we consider this morning is that first verse of Isaiah 11. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, the context of our text presents what appeared from a human perspective, appeared to be a hopeless circumstance for Judah. And I suppose if we also had looked in like the shepherds did and visited the Savior after his birth, from a human perspective, a little baby lying in a feeding trough in a stable would not have appeared to give great hope of salvation for Israel. Of course, the message of the angels was different than what the human perspective would give. And so it is in our own personal lives and in the life of the church. There may be things that we look at, and from a human perspective, they appear hopeless. God's word to you and to me, based on the text that we consider, is to rejoice in the hope that we have in that rod that would come forth and has come forth from the stem of Jesse. The context of our text presents, I say, what looked like a hopeless situation for Judah. Pekah, the king of Israel, and Rezin, the king of Syria, had come against King Ahaz and against Judah. And Isaiah had warned Ahaz not to seek ungodly alliances. Don't go to the world for your help. And then he told Ahaz to ask a sign, commanded him to ask a sign from God that would prove that God would protect his people in Judah. Ahaz rejected that. He refused to ask for a sign, and yet God gave a sign anyway. That's Isaiah 7. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. After that sign was given, Ahaz continued to reject that sign, and he went to the king of Assyria and sought his help. Then Isaiah chapter 8 predicts that Assyria, yes, they would invade Israel, and they would invade Syria, but Assyria would not stop there. The Assyrians, to whom Ahaz looked for help, they would actually end up coming against Judah as well, and would boast, Shall I not, as I have done to Samaria, this is Assyria speaking, shall I not, as I have done unto Samaria and her idols, so do to Jerusalem and her idols? It would appear as mighty Assyria was coming now against Judah, that last resort, which was the hope in which Judah had trusted, and now things would appear hopeless. But then the end of Isaiah 10 tells us that God would humble Assyria. Immediately before our text, Isaiah 10, verse 33 and 34, we read this prophecy, "Behold, the Lord of hosts, shall lop the bow with terror, and the high ones of stature shall be hewn down, and the haughty shall be humbled. And he shall cut down the thickets of the forest with iron, and Lebanon shall fall by a mighty one." God would cut down that great and lofty forest that represented Assyria. That mighty world power would be completely destroyed. And God would accomplish his purposes. God would save his people through that rod that would come forth of the stem of Jesse. And that's what we want to consider this morning, the rod out of the stem of Jesse. Let's note in the first place the humble or desolate stump. Secondly, the tender branch that would grow out of that stump. And then the royal hope that that gives to God's people in every age. A rod out of the stem of Jesse. There are times, beloved, when in the Church of Jesus Christ, many times throughout history, where things appear hopeless from a human perspective. The world around us presses in upon the church more and more. We see the homosexual agenda advancing. We see society bombarding us, declaring that the church is irrelevant and God is irrelevant. And then the church experiences trials from without and trials from within. We ourselves in our own personal lives experience trials, battling against our own sinful flesh, those besetting sins that we look upon and might think to ourselves, it's hopeless. The picture of the stem in our text is the same picture. The stem is a stump. It is what remains after the tree is cut down. And usually when you cut down a tree and leave the tree as a stump, that's the end of it. The stump looks hopeless. And you would never expect anything to come of it anymore. What exactly does the stump represent in our text? Well, the text calls the stump the stem of Jesse, because it represents the house of David that arises out of Jesse's line. Lowly Jesse from that little town of Bethlehem. Lowly Jesse, the grandson of Boaz, and that Moabite, Ruth. The stump of Jesse emphasizes its lowly roots. You would never have expected such a thing to come from, or anything to come out of that stump. But in the next place, it's called a stump because once it was a tree that had grown out of Jesse's line. God took David from watching the flocks as a young man and turned David into a mighty conquering king. David overthrew all the enemies that surrounded Israel. In fact, during David's reign, he pushed the boundaries of Israel out all the way to the river Euphrates and all the way down to the river of Egypt. The glory of David's royal house continued during Solomon's reign, when there was peace all around and great prosperity. David's tree out of Jesse appeared to be flourishing. But what had appeared to be a flourishing tree would become a stump. And now imagine, beloved, that you were one of God's people in those days and watching that flourishing kingdom of David undergoing the process of becoming a stump. That's the picture. First, the tree is marred, then branches are cut off. Soon, more than half of the tree is cut off, and then eventually the whole tree is cut off level to the ground. That's what happened. During David's reign, already that tree was marred. It was marred through the sins of David as he ruled over Israel, as he committed those horrible sins against Uriah and Bathsheba. During Solomon's reign, that tree was marred even more when Solomon married all of those wives and even set up temples for the idols of his wives. Then in the reign of Rehoboam, Solomon's son, a huge portion of that tree was cut off. How discouraging for God's people when those northern tribes went after Jeroboam and rejected David's line. Although there were some godly kings in David's line, by and large, ungodly kings continually marred what was left of that tree. Jehoram married wicked Athaliah, the son of the daughter of Ahab. And then King Ahaz, king during the time of Isaiah, was so wicked in his idolatry, he even caused two of his children, at least two, to pass through the fire. He sacrificed them. This process of turning Judah into a lowly stump continued after the time of Isaiah, after Assyria came Babylon, who surrounded Jerusalem and eventually destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. How discouraging. and then from captivity. Only a handful of people would return to Jerusalem. And then that stump of Jesse would lie dormant for centuries. Judah was never again her own sovereign state. They had all these other foreign nations ruling over them, Babylon, and then Media and Persia, and then the kingdom of Macedonia, and then Rome ruling over them. And more the worship turned into a mere formality. How painful to see the church of Jesus Christ, the church of God, reduced to a stump. And just before Jesus was born, that stump of Jesse was all but forgotten. And you could say that stump was represented by that lowly couple, Joseph, the espoused husband of Mary, and that lowly virgin, living in poverty in the lowly city of Nazareth. You might ask, if you were looking on, what could ever come of such a stump? But you see, beloved, that's the way God works. And we could point to one occasion after another where in the history of God's people it all appeared hopeless from a human perspective. Thanks be to God, that desolate stump is not the end of the story. From that stump comes a tender branch. What appears hopeless from our human perspective is the very thing that God uses to accomplish our salvation. Is the very thing that He uses to accomplish His will. We sing that. Weakest means fulfill thy will, mighty enemies to still. Or 1 Corinthians 1, verse 27, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. That's the way God works, and that's the way God declares He would work also through our text. Out of the stump and the root of Jesse would come forth a rod and a branch. That stump that was level to the ground and seemingly dead would bring forth a lowly rod. Just a little twig. A little shoot and a branch. That's also speaking of a tender shoot or a sprout that comes out of the roots. That rod and the branch both refer to the Messiah, to Christ, who would come from David's line. And although the stump of Jesse lay dormant for centuries, it would bring forth that branch, which is Jesus Christ. And that picture of the branch is also a picture of lowliness. That little green, insignificant-looking shoot. What could such a despised little shoot ever accomplish? That branch is a picture of Christ's lowliness. And that's evident from the word that is used, that word branch, and I pronounce it in the Hebrew because you'll see the connection. The branch is a netzer and forms the basis of the name for Nazareth. An insignificant netzer, a little shoot. Matthew refers to that town of Nazareth in Matthew 2, verse 23. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Nazareth was but a small, insignificant town. More importantly, Nazareth was despised. If you talked to the Galileans of that day, they would tell you that Nazareth was a despised town. In fact, when Jesus was first introduced to Nathanael, one of his disciples, Nathanael proclaims, "Can any good thing come from Nazareth?" That was the prevailing opinion about Nazareth. When inspired Matthew then calls Jesus a Nazarene, Matthew is telling us that Jesus himself would be despised. Isaiah 53, verse 3 proclaims that as well. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Men counted Jesus as an insignificant shoot. What good could ever be accomplished by him? They despised him. Even those despised people of Nazareth, even they despised him, so that when he brings to them the gospel and says to them, the prophecies concerning the Christ are fulfilled this day, when they heard that word, they sought to throw him off the edge of a cliff. The wonder of the gospel, beloved, is that Jesus of Nazareth was despised and rejected for our sakes. Even though we esteemed him not, nevertheless, he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. That lowly, despised branch is our salvation. And you see, what appeared to be hopeless was, in fact, the very instrument that God used for our salvation. Jesus himself was despised and rejected, and we ought not be surprised when we ourselves, as God's people, are rejected. God's people of every age, in every age of the world, in all of history, have been despised. Mighty Assyria in the days of Isaiah despised God's people, just as the world despises the church today. And they gather themselves together against the Lord and against his anointed. But no matter. Assyria came and boasted itself against Judah and against Israel back in the day. God puts Assyria in her place. He says in Isaiah 10, verse 15, against Assyria, he says, "Shall the axe boast itself against him that heweth therewith? Or shall the saw magnify itself against him that shaketh it?" The picture is that God is the one who holds Assyria in his hand. Yes, he used Assyria to chastise Judah. But he says, "I'm the one who holds you, Assyria, in my hand. And therefore, Assyria has no right to boast, because they are but an instrument. And that instrument is being used by God, in fact, to accomplish God's purposes and to bring good to his people." And so too also the world in our day may boast of its power, and they will go on despising the church and God himself. But they haven't reckoned with the truth that God is the one who holds them in his hand. The governments of the world may proudly come against the church, but even then they are instruments in God's hand to accomplish his perfect will. When the kingdom of Antichrist establishes itself and comes against the church with great persecution, that too will be used by God as an instrument in his hand for the good of the church. And the same care that God had for his people back in Isaiah's day when Assyria came against them is the care that he had for us when he sent Jesus Christ into the world. And beloved, it's the same care that he has for Trinity Protestant Reformed Church today. No matter how difficult the circumstances might appear in our own personal lives, in the church, and in the world at large, Jehovah's faithfulness gives us a royal hope. That is, gives to us the hope of Christ's glorious kingdom. That's the message Isaiah's prophecy conveyed to Judah, the Old Testament church. No matter how great the enemy may appear, and no matter how weak we ourselves may be, and no matter that we don't see the answers to all of our questions, Jehovah is faithful and will keep his promise to save us. That this is the message is evident from the contrast in the text and compared to the context. The context is mighty Assyria, the world power of that day. That nation was known for its mighty armies, its ruthless armies, indeed its invincible armies. They went after one nation, and then they went after another nation, one after another. They conquered the nations around them. Who would think to fight against such a mighty army? But God says that entire forest depicts Assyria as that forest. That forest would be cut down. Indeed, even the thickets, the smaller undergrowth in that forest would be cut down. And God would bring that mighty Assyrian world kingdom to nothing. And at the same time, he would keep his covenant promise to establish the kingdom of David. The mighty kingdoms of the world, God will destroy. The kingdom of Jesus Christ would be established. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Even though that stump looked like it would come to nothing, out of that stump would come a rod, that small sapling. The other way the text puts it is the branch will grow out of his roots. Literally, a branch shall bear fruit out of his roots. That small growth that appeared to be insignificant, that little branch carries with it the hope of a great king and a glorious kingdom. Do you see how God works, beloved? The mighty Assyrian forest, God cuts even with the ground. That desolate stump eventually bears glorious fruit. In Jesus' day, it seemed as if the world powers had extinguished the hope of God's people. The disciples saw it that way. They nailed Jesus to the cross. But he didn't stay in the grave after he died on the cross. He could not be held in the grave. Rather, he arose and he ascended into heaven. And that little insignificant rod, that branch, now sits enthroned, ruling from heaven. At the right hand of God, ruling by his power over the whole creation, ruling by his grace over the church. Right now from heaven, he is gathering and defending and preserving his church. And when he comes again, he will bring his kingdom to its full realization. And then the wolf, there's that picture of Isaiah 11, the wolf and the lamb will live together. The leopard will lie down with the baby goat. The calf and the young lion that normally is known for being so ferocious, they will be together and a child will lead them. A cow and a bear will feed together. The lion will eat straw like an ox. And a little baby will play over the hole of an asp. What normally would have been considered a poisonous and most dangerous snake. Do you see the picture? Once the scene was red in tooth and claw. Once the picture was full of violence and spilling of blood. Adam's rebellion brought that upon the whole creation. Christ's kingdom will bring a lasting and a perfect peace in all of the world, in the new heavens and in the new earth. Now we have a small beginning, but in that day we will say, to use the words of Isaiah in chapter 12, verse 5 and 6, praise the Lord. Call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Jesus Christ, in the midst of his people. That's what we look forward to in glory. We will dwell with him. And though now we see through a glass darkly, with dim eyes, then we will see him face to face. There's hope. Because our King, Jesus Christ, rules. Though it may look hopeless from our perspective, Christ yet reigns from his throne. The wonderful grace of our Savior reaches down to each of his people, reaches down to the church today. Rejoice then. Rejoice in the work of Jesus Christ to save his church. Rejoice in that rod that came forth from the stump of Jesse, for he will surely save his people. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we give thee thanks for the comfort that thou dost give us in thy word, that thou wilt surely accomplish the salvation of thy people and us. Bless thy church, we pray, and where we have doubted and thought things to be hopeless, may we see the hope that is ours through Jesus Christ, our Lord and King. Go with us now, we pray, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.